Well, good morning. This is a good day. This summer, I led some of the youth in a couple big events, which is really good and exciting. And today we want to kind of share some of that, what we did. And I'm going to have some of them and some of our team members, some who are not youth, kind of share what they learned and what they experienced so that you can see just what all has been going on this summer. A lot of them have been running. But first we went to Wyoming. We went there as campers. Wyoming's a camp up in Pennsylvania. We had 16 people show up. We took 16. So I'm going to ask all those who went to Wyoming if you could stand up so we can kind of see who you are. All right. You can be seated. So Wyoming is a camp, and when I was told about it, I was basically told that they train you for ministry. And so some of those who had gone, there was a few of us who had gone before, and they were like, well, we can tell you what happens. And I was like, no, I just kind of want to see what goes on. And so we went up there, and it wasn't quite what I had anticipated. They really focused on ministry, not so much training, but the need for ministry. And it works. It is an offshoot of Ethnos 360, and so they go to the unreached people and they present the gospel and then they translate. And there's a lot of work and a lot of effort in there. And so they had two experienced missionaries share with the tribes that they worked with, and they shared a lot of stories, a lot of information about culture and the good and the bad and language and a lot of other things. And I was able to have good conversations with them because Sarah and I had spent so many years with the Navajo people that, you know, kind of comparing notes and just encouraging them. But they really focused on getting to the people, meeting them where they're at, and showing them the need of the gospel. And what matters most is that gospel. And one of the joys of a lot of their stories and being a missionary and talking to a lot of missionaries is they shared a lot of their failures. Not so much like, I failed to do this, but I did this cultural thing that wasn't right and I look like an idiot. Because it happens. And I like that because the group I took to Broken Arrow, I told them I hope they make some of the same mistakes because it makes them know that we are human. So with that, we then took a week to go to Broken Arrow Bible Ranch in New Mexico. Again, I took 16 people. And again, I'll have them stand up if you went to Broken Arrow. All right. Now, one of the joys is we had 8 people go to both, and I was really excited. So half of the team and both of them went to both Wyoming and to Broken Arrow, and they learned to minister, and then they ministered, and it was great. So with Broken Arrow, we went out kind of piecemeal, since that's where my family's from. My wife and kids flew out early, and then there was a group of us who caravanned out across the long adventure of I-40. And then we had a group of them fly and meet us out there, and we all caught up, and we got there, and we got to work. Now, with Broken Arrow, we went there as a ministry team. And what does that mean? That means we did a whole lot of things. We did physical work. We did, one of us worked in the kitchen, cooked for 200 people a full week. A couple of us roofed a pavilion and got that stuff ready. Some of us worked in the snack shop to make sure the kids had food. Some of us did basic cleaning, bathrooms and kitchen jobs and just whatever needed to be done. Some of us led activities, which included playing hockey and other stuff or frisbee golf. Some of us were serving food. Some of us were doing a lot of things. And I kind of had to juggle it all. I was a speaker, so I had an opportunity to share 8 times and focus on the kids. But with that, we were able to get the teens and get the adults involved, and we plugged them in with campers. One of my focuses as a speaker was to make a choice. We're at a time in society where God is calling us to make a choice. You know, you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world. You can't have your feet in both places. And it's coming up sooner and sooner where those who are trying are going to realize we can't do that. But with that, we had 134 campers from at least 5 different tribes that I know of off the top of my head. Of those 134 campers, we had 7 salvations. We had 15 dedications, so these were kids who had got saved at a younger age, much like myself, and they were kind of doing their own thing, and they realized, you know what, I need to make a choice. God, I'm here to serve you. And we had 15 assurances, which these are the kids who, I think I said a prayer when I was a kid, but I'm not sure. And so our students, our adults, had a lot to do with that. We did really well. I'm really proud of the people. In fact, the permanent staff were excited. They actually asked Jewel to come back and cook in the kitchen next year. There was some surprises with Snack Shop. They mentioned, hey, we want to get some drinks, and our people were right there. Our members got involved in the things. On Monday night, they did big ball volleyball, which is volleyball but with a big ball. Every single team member got involved. Jewel was out there hitting the ball. Julie was out there taking pictures getting hit by the ball. But every member was there and involved and took time to really get to know these kids. And lives were changed. And I'm not just talking about the campers. Some of them were changed. Many of them were changed. Many of them took time to share and focus. But people from here were changed. And I wanted to give them, before I kind of get more in depth in some of the stuff I want to talk about, I'll give a couple of them, I've talked to a few of them, an opportunity to share a little bit about what they learned. So I'm going to ask Kirsten first if you'll come and share.
Good morning. When missionaries come to visit our church, oftentimes many of us think to ourselves, wow, this is really amazing what God is doing in the lives of these missionaries, but God can never do that in my life. We believe God only uses these special people to work in the mission field. At Wyoming, we learned that God can and will use anybody who is willing to go and serve to these 2,000 unreached people groups who have never even heard a single word of the gospel, let alone hear the good news that Jesus died for their sins and paid our debt. Every day, these people are dying in their sins without ever having the opportunity to accept Jesus as Christ and Savior. We become so comfortable in our lives and caught up in living the American dream of having money, houses, cars, etc., when in reality, none of it matters when it comes to eternity. God's plan for our life should come before our own because God knows his plans to prosper us. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 14, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward." The need for missionaries is greater than any of us could have ever imagined. Jesus gave us the Great Commission in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Coming out of Wyoming, I have gained a better understanding of the need for missions and the true darkness that these people groups are living in without the word of God. The same darkness that all of us would be living in without God's word in our lives. Broken Arrow really allowed us to apply what we had learned into real-world situations. In the meeting we had a few weeks before we left, Paul asked us the question, "What are we afraid of going into this trip?" For me, I was scared of being in a new place around people I had never met before. Although this was a rational fear to have, I should have never been afraid in the first place. I wasn't going alone. I had a wonderful team of people that were with me there to uplift and support one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing." But we weren't there to just stay amongst ourselves. We were there to get involved with the staff and the campers at Broken Arrow because we all have one common goal, and that goal is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody there was very friendly, and they just made you feel welcome. For me, it was pretty difficult to just jump into a game of basketball with people I had never met before, but I did. And in these scary moments, that's when God used me. You never really know what many of these campers are going through, and most of them have a pretty bad home life, and Broken Arrow is an escape from that. This becomes very hard towards the end of the week. On Wednesday night, that's when Paul presented the gospel to the campers during chapel, and in that moment, you could really feel the Holy Spirit moving. On Thursday night, the staff did a few skits that really brought the gospel home. After skits, the campers had a chance at the campfire to give their testimonies or tell how God worked in their lives during the week. This is when you really hear those stories of what these campers have to experience at home. It's just heartbreaking. But then when you hear that they accepted Christ or hear how Christ is working in their heart and lives, that makes all the weariness and tiredness that you felt throughout the week all worth it. This is why we were there, not for anything else other than to be used by the Lord for his glory. While we were there, 134 campers heard the gospel, 7 accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, as well as 15 assurances and 15 dedications. Before we left for Broken Arrow, Paul had told us that this trip could change our lives if we allow it to. And this really stuck with me the whole time we were there. And I believe this trip has changed my life.
That Thursday night was pretty hard. There was, I would say, about 40 kids who got up and shared their story. And about 3 out of 5 started off with, "I was attempting suicide." But that's why we were there, just to be with them. Bradley, would you like to share a little?
As Bill said, you are in for a treat. I'm hoping he's talking about everybody else besides me. But anyway, back in 2012, Julianne and I had thought about going out here on this trip. Unfortunately, because of some other circumstances, we weren't able to at that time. So fast forward to now, the good Lord laid upon our hearts, hey, this trip has come back around. Our church is going. I'd like you all to go. So we went, sat through Pastor Paul's meeting there, listened to all the information, and we had talked a little bit before that, and I kind of threw out the, hey, let's drive out. And because the original plan was for everybody to actually fly out. So we kind of hashed that out, and it sounded good for a majority of us, but it wasn't feasible for some because of work obligations and that kind of thing. So we lined everything up. Julie did an excellent job of making everything work out. So we decided to rent a van and take my pickup and drive out there. During that time, you're stuck in a vehicle with somebody, you get to learn a lot about them as you're riding along and while you're with them in a hotel room. So I was glad that we did that because I got to learn more about Dalton. I got to learn more about Ashton. I got to learn more about Wesley. And I think that's it. Who read with us? Other than Pastor Paul and Sarah. But like the youth, you get to learn a lot more about them other than just seeing them here on a Sunday morning. Once we got to camp, there's a lot of enthusiasm there. Even with the staff when we first got there, they're all excited. This was, what, their 6th or 7th week of camp, six weeks of a camp, and they're still excited. They're on fire. They're ready to go. They can't wait until these campers come in the week there. So we kind of divvied up our jobs. Since I'm somewhat handy, not great at most things, but I'm handy with a few. So I got tasked with helping Eric build a pavilion. They have a large pavilion there, and they wanted a second pavilion to be able to cook up underneath of. So we got tasked with that, along with other miscellaneous things around the camp. So we weren't really as involved as what Kirsten was. Most of the other youth and my wife were involved with. But even though Eric and I were working on this building, we did have some time where we intermingled with the kids there. And just the enthusiasm there amongst those kids during the week is just eye-opening. I mean, those kids are on fire. They're energetic. They're excited. You can really, really sit back and watch the Lord move through all of them. It is just amazing. Like, during songs, there's a conga line that actually goes around the sanctuary. That's how excited that they are. And, I mean, they're jumping up and down. It's crazy to me because I'm used to sitting here at the church just standing there singing a song. You know, that to me is just mind-blowing, but it is very encouraging to actually get to see that. Also, with driving out there, we got to see some gorgeous countryside. I mean, we think it's beautiful here, which it is, but there's a different kind of beauty out there. It is very beautiful out there. There's a lot of rich history out there. We got to go into, Paul drove us into an actual Indian town, and we got to see the old Spanish church when, like, the Spaniards came over and actually taught them different things about religion. And it has gone awry over the years, and that's why this Bible camp is there. Actually, every evening, each cabin had devotions. And I got to learn, you know, different things, just exchanging testimonies, talking with them. There's a couple boys in my cabin that actually live in the Grand Canyon. They actually live on a reservation that's in the Grand Canyon, and they actually have to get off of a bus after camp and walk back into their home. They have no running water, no nothing. They just live in the Grand Canyon. And those guys came in with literally like almost 2 Walmart bags of clothes and bedding. That's all that they had. But they enjoyed the week. They loved it, and they were glad anybody would listen to them. So if you'll ever have the opportunity, please go out there or anywhere. I've went to the Philippines before with Bill and Ed, and we had a great time there too. We did some work. We got to see how camp has progressed and how the kids have progressed. It's a very eye-opening experience, and I hope that you all can share in that one day. I appreciate you all very much for your prayers, your thoughts, and the money that you have supported this or us going on this trip with. Just really helped out a lot. Thank you all.
Kind of one of the dangers of taking adults with us out there is some of the missionaries out there were telling stories about me too, and I had to tell Jerry, calm it down a little bit, I need my job. But seeing what God is doing there and here is exciting. And I got one more, so Jane.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Wow, this has been truly a whirlwind. Going to Wyoming and Broken Arrow was a great experience. Even though I got sick after Broken Arrow, I have no regrets going. I'll go again. Wyoming stands for to leave your village and spend the night in the Wyoming language. We slept in hammocks and studied the Bible till our heart's content. The most important thing I've learned from there is how much the unreached people group really needs us. When missionaries come into the tribe, the people are super excited and friendly, but you can see that there is so much darkness. My Aunt Julie, she pointed out during a movie that we were watching, that whenever they finally accepted and understood God's love for them, their eyes, there was like this light of life that just entered their body, and you could just see it in their eyes, just shunning away the darkness. You could just watch this life-changing transition from death to life, and it was just so special. After the missionaries effectively shared the gospel, their next job is to translate the Bible, which takes many of years and lots of help from God's people. Wyoming was a great help in my preparation for Broken Arrow Bible Camp in New Mexico. The camp welcomed campers from Navajo, Zuni, and many other kids from various backgrounds. Even though the reservation is in America, they still have issues like any other tribe. They know about God, but it either has been distorted, they think they are too broken, or they're afraid of it because it would anger the gods and their family. Pastor Paul wrote us devotions for every day we were there at the camp. I found them very helpful. In one of the devos, he wrote, "Get out of your comfort zone and love these people." This was intimidating at first, but these kids don't have the greatest home life. When I was serving food to one of the tables, I saw one of the kids had scars on their arms. Our work was important because it showed them God's crazy, comforting love and made them feel safe for once. God's amazing because he heals the broken, and I'm truly humbled by my experience this past summer. When I get the chance, I would totally do it again. I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to spread God's love. This couldn't have happened without your prayers and your support. Thank you.
I think we could go on and on and on, but I didn't ask other people to be ready, so they probably wouldn't appreciate it. But I do want to pray before we go on, just for those of us who went and also for those who are there. So let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Father, again, I thank you for today. I thank you for the hope we have in you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you've given us to minister, the opportunities you've given us to share the gospel, the opportunities you've given us to love on people, Lord. I do pray for all those students who came to Broken Arrow, Lord. I know they've heard the gospel. I know they've heard your word. And I pray, Lord, that that seed will continue to grow and they will thrive and become very active members of your church. And Lord, I do pray for the members of our teams who went both to Wyoming and Broken Arrow. Again, Lord, just remind them, Lord, the wonderful things that you did, Lord. Strengthen their hearts and get their focus to continue to stay on you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to minister and to serve. And we thank you, Lord, for everybody who was here, who was standing behind us in prayer and support. In your name I pray. Amen. I did want to share a few more things. We have a video that we'll share at the end. But I want to share a few more things before we get to that video. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 20 through 22, Paul writes, he says, "To the Jews I become a Jew, that I might win the Jews. But to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards God, Christ. That I may win those who are without the law. To the weak I have become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul is sharing and speaking about culture. Culture is who we are. It's what we do. It's why we do the things that we do. It's the reasons that we accomplish the things we do. The reason we do things in specific orders is because that's how we're taught to be. And as Paul's saying that we want to be part of the culture, we have to be careful. This can lead down a rabbit hole, which I don't have time for. There's arguments over what we call, I'm going to use my big 25-cent word, syncretism and contextualization. In other words, giving the gospel via the culture or kind of intermixing them and how that leads to. That is a very long discussion that I don't have time for today. Maybe one of these other Sundays I can speak on that. But Paul's point is to use culture to point to Christ. Don't water down Christ with the culture, but use the culture to point to Christ. And the key is to keep Christ the focus. I think one of the problems the church as a whole in America has is we get so caught up in the culture that we're minimizing the Christ. And we cannot do that. Because without Christ, everything else does not matter. But what I love about Broken Arrow, and one of the reasons I was excited to bring people here, and the next time we go, and I don't know when that'll be, maybe next year, maybe the year after, I don't have that information yet. But one of the things I love about it is different enough from our culture to take you out of your comfort zone. But it's comfortable enough that you can survive and you can do it. I like to call it a training mission for other mission trips. But one of the things, as was brought up a few times, I kept telling them to get out of your comfort zone. Share Christ. It's not comfortable. These kids, you don't know their background. It's not necessarily comfortable. And all of our youth, and even the adults, got out of that comfort zone, and they invested in these kids. One of the things I tried to do every day is ask them, "How are you doing? And how can I pray for you?" One of our young people, every day, asks us, "How can I pray for you?" And his always look at me with that concern and say, "Pray I don't mess this up." To which my response is, "Keep doing what you're doing." He was out there with the kids, and he was investing in them, and he was doing all he could to be a part, just to show them the love of Christ. With my training with the team before we went, I did a lot of focus on culture because I know this culture shock is there. But Paul knew to understand people, you had to be out with them. And some of the tools the team used, and I pushed them, was basketball. Kirsten was out there giving as good as she got. There'd be 7, 8 Navajo kids, and she'd be in the middle of it, and she'd be getting that ball around, and she'd be, you know, doing all she could, just tearing it up on the court. Some of them played volleyball. Some of them played dodgeball. That is where Ashton thrived. go across the country to hit some kid with a ball. He was there. But the kids loved him. They participated in games. They went to the nightly devotions. They participated in music. We took Dalton, and Thursday night, they're like, Dalton, you're playing music with the band up front. And he's like, okay. But they use their experience. Even Jewel in the kitchen, Thursday night, Navajo taco night, or Wednesday night, Navajo taco night, stood back and watched the Navajo ladies go to town on the fry bread, and she was in there doing what she could and building those relationships with those in the kitchen. But I pushed the team to step out of their comfort zone. Physically, yes. It's not easy to go out and play games with people you don't know. And I've been on the mission field enough times that you can always spot the work team at Broken Arrow because that's a group of white kids hanging out over here where everybody's playing. And I kept telling the kids, go, go, get involved. I encouraged them to get out of their comfort zone spiritually. This is a different group of people. Open up, sit down, talk, discuss, share. And you can ask anybody on the team. They were told stories that would break your heart. But this doesn't happen unless they trust you, unless they know that you care, unless they know that you're there. Even in encouragement. One of the things I really focused on is encourage them. People are tired. People are worn out. Put your hand on their shoulder and say, can I pray for you? And pray. And that's hard for us to do. It's hard for anybody to really do that because we're not comfortable doing it. We're not used to doing it. But how great of a change in the church would it be if every Sunday someone prayed for you and said, hey, I'm here for you. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. I encourage them to push beyond their physical boundaries. It's exhausting, but God is good. God gave us the strength. God gave us the endurance. God gave us the things we needed to accomplish his tasks, and I was proud of each and every one of them. I stress the principle of sowing and reaping. Scripture talks about what you sow, you will reap. One of the things I said a lot of times is what you put into this ministry, you will get out of it. Some of the people worked really hard and put every ounce they had into it, and they came out beaming. Some of them not as much. But all of them were changed. And I pray that even those who didn't work as hard, perhaps, you know, God is still using that and saying, this is where you are going. But everybody I talked to from the team was like, that was amazing. Let's do it again. I would do it again. I want to try again. Can we stay? There's a lot of these discussions of what next. In fact, there are 2 to 3 people from our church who are like, can we go for a full summer? And they're praying about it. One of them even has his application already turned in. But seeing that need, someone else from the team, when I asked, what'd you learn? They said, this fire we need to take home. I asked everybody as well, individually, what changes? Now that you've come to New Mexico, now that you've worked with these kids, now that you've seen what God is doing, what changes? And some of us have a very practical thought process saying, well, if I'm not a missionary on the ground, what can I change? And then when I pressed them a little bit on it, they realized my prayer life will change. My heart will change. My ministry will change. How I work at home will change. And another member of the team, as I talked to them, what changes? Their response was, why me? Why do I have a good home? Why do I have a church who cares? Why am I not the one who is suffering and contemplating suicide because everything is broken? To which I encouraged her, because God chose you. Why not? But all this leads to, what do we do? And it comes down to that. Where's your prayer life now? When these missionaries come in, what changes? At Wyoming, a lot of the people who work there were looking to go into the mission field or had been on the mission field or had been missionaries. And as a missionary, you know, I know some of the weird questions that they always get, but I always like to ask them, what's the weirdest thing anybody's ever donated to your ministry? And the reason I do that is because a lot of times we in the church kind of don't pay attention to what we do. And every missionary I sat and thought, and says, this is a great question. Because I know as a missionary kid, we did get bags of clothes from churches, and it's like, I don't wear bell bottoms. This is 1994. I have one ministry, someone had donated used toothbrushes. Broken Arrow Bible Ranch was given a big box of heart medicine and a needle. But seeing what God is doing, that changes where we're, okay, if we're going to give to the mission, if we're going to give to ministry, what can we do to honor God? What changes? I truly believe everybody in the church should go on at least one mission trip somewhere. Out of your comfort zone, taking you beyond where you're comfortable. And I know Pastor always says to a third world country, and I agree, that's a great place to be, but Broken Arrow is a place to get your toes wet before you go to the next stage. But the reason I believe that is because it changes everything. It's easy to, as Kirsten said, to sit here and listen to a missionary and say, well, that's nice. But we have 16 people in our church, when they pray tonight, have faces. Pray for this guy. Pray for this young lady. Pray for this person. Pray for this person, because they now know their stories. I will say this. We couldn't have done it without you. We had financial support, and that was very important. And it came down to the wire. It was like 2 days before we were gone. The last little bit was coming in, but God provided everything, and God used you. But your prayer support is what got us through as well. Praying for those on the ground, saying, God, be with them. And your encouragement, hey, we're standing behind you. We're waiting to see what God has for you. All of these things built up that made this ministry, this trip, a Central Chapel trip. And we're very grateful. And we're thankful for each and every one of you. Well, hopefully that gets some people excited to go again next time. Now, to be fair, we don't have to go in the summer. If we actually want to do physical work with a lot of work team, that's open all year round. So if people who want to go, it's available. But I just wanted to really share a little bit of our heart, a little bit of what we've done, how proud I am of our youth, and to see what God has accomplished. I'm going to close in prayer, and then want to remind you that we do have Sunday school afterwards, so please stay for that. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for today. Again, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. I thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to minister and to serve. And Lord, may we bring that fire home, and may we minister here. I thank you, Lord, for everybody who participated, whether it's through prayer, encouragement, or even financially, Lord. That trip would not have been there without them. And we give you the thanks, we give you the praise. I just pray, Lord, that you work on our hearts, Lord, that we understand the need for missions. In your name I pray. Amen.